You know, as always, I'm excited to be up here, excited to share the word. If I can get my computer going, we'll be good. All right. We'll open in some prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you for this time that we get to come together as family, Lord, and just hear your word. Father, help my words to be your words, Father. I just pray for open hearts, open ears, to hear what you have to say. And Father, help us to just help this word to fall on soft soil, Lord. Help it to take root in Jesus' name. So, I got a new Bible app, and it's really awesome. I can just pull verses right over into my sermon. So there's like 500 in here today. Just so excited. It's eSword. Yeah, so like, because before I had to write everything out and it took long, and now I can just click. Oh, it's just great. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jesse Cunningham. I'm not the head pastor here, but I help out. Pastor Jonah is. But he gives me the opportunity to speak once a month, and I love it, and I look forward to it, and hopefully there's some more in the future. But I guess my style, those of you who don't know me, I like Scripture. I like to back things up with Scripture, because that's what changed my life. It wasn't just hearing somebody say something, it was hearing somebody say something and back it up with the Word. You know, not just one scripture now, but I like to back it up so it sinks in. Yeah, I don't expect you to remember everything, but I want you to know that it's there. You know, when we look, it's there. I want you to know it's there. So we've been going through the life of Jesus. We're in Matthew 6. If you want to turn to Matthew 6, 5, we're going to start there. We're going to get into prayer. We're going to be going through the Lord's Prayer. And just kind of more of a verse-by-verse kind of breakdown. Someone a little more, some a little less, but we'll see what happens here. All right, so we'll start in Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So, we see the word hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? Dictionary defines it as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. So it's nothing but show, right? There's nothing in their heart. There's nothing that they want to instill into anyone else. It's just about receiving their praise. And if that's your motive, your reward is very fleeting. You know, you'll get the accolades of some people, but in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of eternity, you're going to be awfully disappointed. Because we're to represent Jesus. We're to show the world Jesus. People are supposed to look at us and not see me, but see a life that was changed by Jesus. It's not about me. Matthew, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, I think it's great, you know, to find quiet time and to, you know, spend time in prayer that way, but it's not always an option, and I don't think that's, you know, that's not specifically what this is pointing to either. There are plenty of instances of prayer in the Bible, you know, corporate prayer and whatnot, so it's not, you know, we don't just pray in the closet, but there's an aspect of purpose here. There's an aspect of motive and sincerity. When we pray, what's coming out of us? Are we coming into it with an expectation to hear from God, to, you know, to bless God, to have a conversation? Are we coming into it with relationship, or are we coming into it just with demands and with, you know, it's a heart thing. Excuse me. When you sing a lot, you get dry quick. You know, do we pray because it's just what we're supposed to do? Do we pray because, well, I'm in trouble? You know, that's not prayer. Prayer is relationship. Everything we grow in the new covenant is to grow into a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when I have relationship with you, I can talk freely with you. I can make requests. You know, when I'm in relationship with you, I can receive from you as well. I'm open to receiving from you. I'm open to hearing what you have to say. You know, it's the purpose behind it. What is our heart behind going to the Lord? Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. It's not about the words, it's about relationship. It's about what's in our heart. Vain repetitions have spawned a lot of religion and have a lot and left a lot of people uninformed and powerless. It's not about how many times you say it over and over and over again. It's understanding the purpose and power behind it. When we understand the purpose and power in the new covenant, when we understand the power that's been given to us, when we understand the power that's living inside of us, you're going to go to God much more different. It's not a groveling thing. It's a relationship. When I'm in relationship to, like, with my kids, I have a relationship with my kids, and they can come freely to me about anything. And I want it to always be that way. I don't want there to ever be this trepidation of, oh, he may not react the way I want him to react. Or I want them to know that they can come to me and we can figure it out, no matter what. But we have to develop a relationship. If all I do is wail on my kids anytime they do something wrong and overreact to everything, that relationship's going to be lost, right? So we got to keep this balance. It's not about over and over and over again. It's about hearing what he has to say. It's about opening our heart. It's about listening to that spirit that's inside of us, speaking to us, leading and guiding us. Therefore, do not be like them, verse 8. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. You know, it's quite the statement. So why do we even pray then? If he knows, he knows. Because it's about relationship. Because what I think I need may not actually be what I need. Where I think I need to go may not actually be where I need to go, and I've run into that a few times in my life. And the door was shut hard. There has to be this relationship where I myself is just removed, and it's just listening and hearing and responding. You know, we serve a God who has met and is going to continually meet our needs. Do we believe it? Do we believe that he is that good, that no matter what circumstance I am in, when I go to the Father, he's listening, he hears me, and he wants to help? Do you believe it? There was a time in my life where I didn't, because I was constantly making deals. God, if you do this for me, I'll serve you with all my heart. And then 10 seconds later, I fail. And, you know, I won't even give myself minutes. But when I started to understand relationship with the Father, relationship with Jesus, relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's amazing the changes that happened in my life. And it's not just me. It can be anyone here. It can be anyone you know. But I had to open myself up again to receiving. So here we go. The Lord's Prayer. Hope I'm not going to step on toes. But if I do, just keep listening and we can figure it out at the end. So Matthew 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In this manner, It's not supposed to be a religious mantra. Because we just read, don't be like the hypocrites and pray over and over and over again. This is a guide. Now, am I saying if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're going to hell and you're totally missing it? No. But there's more to it than just reciting this. This is our guide of how we go to the Father. This is our guide about how we can hear and receive. So let's dig into it. It's not about repetition, it's about relationship, and I'm going to keep stressing that. I always stress that when I speak because it's so important. We have to understand that He loves us. Jesus died for us so we can have this relationship again. Because my relationship with Jesus Christ is fulfilling every need I have. My relationship with Jesus Christ is changing my family. It's changing my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with siblings and friends. Because that is His desire. That's His desire, to have relationship with Him, and then that relationship flow out of us to other people around us. But they have to see Jesus, right? There was a time I just wasn't very approachable. I was angry. I didn't want to talk to you. You know, I came out of the Marine Corps angry. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny. You know, like, I was just angry. And people made me angry because I was explaining this to somebody else. When you're in the military, especially when you're in the infantry, you have a specific job to do. Right? I had one job to do, and that was to train really hard to be able to fight. I'll say that, to fight. And win at any cost necessary. And so you don't want to go into battle thinking, oh, you're such a good person. This is going to be really hard for me because I think you're a great person. You know, I don't really want to do this. Because once you get into that mindset, you don't go home. Because that person is looking at you the same way. I have to go through him so I can go home. And so you build these walls and your heart hardens towards people because it's almost out of necessity. And I do believe that there was a better way to go about it. You know, like if I would have been in the Word and leaning on Christ and being led and everything else, there would have been a better way, but I didn't do that. So my way ended in anger. And I came home and my friends weren't my friends anymore. You know, people irritated me to no end. It was such a bad life. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was constant anxiety, constant stress. There was no vision. There was nothing because I had no relationship. Prayer, anything, is about relationship. Now, okay, let's keep going. We don't have to earn anything. We don't have to perform. We can go straight to the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. I can go straight to the Father because I know what the Word says about it. Right? Because we can divide the Word and we can go ahead. And I can go boldly. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can go boldly before the throne. You know, enter his courts with, well, hallowed be your name. So there's praise, right? So Father, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Dive into some praise, man. Open this up with some thanksgiving and praise for what he's done for you, for what he's doing in you, for how good he is. You know, we can minister to God. I just know he loves it when we're thankful. I know he loves it when we're just expressing our love towards him. We can minister to our God. What an amazing thought. So enter into praise with praise and prayer with praise and thanksgiving. Psalms 100, It's only five verses, so I'm going to read the whole thing. But it's a Psalms of Thanksgiving. Psalms 100, we'll start in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And this is verse 4 is my emphasis here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His word endures. The word of God endures, and it will always endure. We can trust that the word of God is truth, and it's going to speak to you, it's going to bring revelation to you, and it's going to bring life to you. That's our guidebook. That's the Holy Spirit confirming these things. When I read the word, man, it's amazing. Some will just jump off the page and the Holy Spirit just starts going. You know, because he wants me to learn. He wants you to learn. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be able to teach others. It's not just me and Pastor Jonah up here teaching others. I want you to be disciples to the point where anybody you bump into, you can share his goodness. You can share his love. You can share a testimony of the goodness of our God, what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life. The fact that I have vision and purpose now, just how many people are looking for that? You know, how many people are looking for identity, vision, purpose, and they can't find it anywhere? Weird. Because it's only found through Jesus Christ. I tried and I tried and I failed and I failed. I really thought I could figure it out because I was a smart kid. You know? I could memorize a lot of things and I paid attention and I did well in school. But it was amazing when real life happened how little I actually knew. And it's because I wasn't established in the Word. All you teens in here, get yourselves established in the Word. Because that's what's going to pull you through. That's what's going to get you through. Knowing who Jesus Christ is, knowing what he's done for you, knowing who the Spirit is, Holy Spirit is, and what he wants to do in you, to lead you, to guide you, to show you things to come. Man, I wish I would have tapped into that. I would have saved myself a good 10, 15 years of worthlessness. You know, I love seeing, when I was going to Karis, I loved seeing the 17, 18-year-old high school graduates. Because, man, what a way to start. What a way to get into the Word. What a way to discover purpose and vision for your life. It's just awesome. So young kids, young adults, get in the Word. Get in the Word. If you have questions, ask. Like, he wants growth. He wants you to understand because the world is going to come at you. You can't get around it. You can't avoid it. And I wasn't ready for it. Because I didn't have the Word. I didn't know. It's so funny. I thought I was so smart. But man, I was smart in the wrong things. I was smart in the things that weren't going to help me through life. Yeah, okay, enough about me. Back to prayer. You know, back to going before the throne. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne that we may obtain mercy and find grace. So we have to go, because if we don't go, we don't obtain and we don't find. Right? I had a role to play. We all have a role to play. If you just sit there and wallow in your misery, misery is going to be your best friend. You must go before the throne of God. And we have the boldness and confidence to do it. And if there's anything else in your head, it's a lie. Because he loves you. He paid for you on that cross. He went through everything we've gone or we're going to go through so he can relate because he's a good God. He understands. There's nothing you're going through that he does not understand. And there's nothing that you're going through that he can't help you through if you let him. But we got to let him. You know, there was finally a point where I let him because I had heard him speak to me and I rejected him because I just continued to harden myself and harden myself and harden myself. But thank God he's merciful and he kept pursuing me. And I won't go into details, but where I found him, where I actually listened to him, was in a pretty detestable place. Like it was nasty. But he was there. And he spoke to me. And he said to me, "This is not you." And from that moment on, a change began. It was a slow change, unfortunately, because I had a lot of junk in me. But a change began, and he met me in just a real nasty place because he desired me. That's how much he loved me, and that's how much he loves you, and that's how much he's going to continue to love you. That's how much he loves your friends, your family. He desires all. Praise God for relationship. And praise God for Jesus Christ. Because he's our hope. He's everything we need. Verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your will, not mine. And that's what I had things figured out. You know, if I just went to school, but I went to school and I hated school, and so I dropped out of school, and then what? You know, if I just do this, if I can just make this amount of money, you know? And it's sad because the things in life that were supposed to be meaningful to me, like my wife and kids and family, were not. You know, I have to be honest standing up here. My wife knows, and we've fixed things, so things are good. But all these gifts that were given to me weren't satisfying me because I had nothing in me. I was broken, I was hardened. And there was just no relationship. I thought I could figure this out on my own. I remember crying, like Heather would go away for a couple weeks at a time to Texas, and I would just cry. Like, why am I like this? What is wrong with me? Because when you're depressed, being alone isn't the best thing for you, you know? So I would just, like, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? Why can't I come out of this? I. Why can't I do this? God, what's wrong with me? But I still, at that point, just had nothing in me to dig into, to understand, to like fall back on. I wasn't able to build myself up in the Lord because there was nothing there. So your kingdom, your will, it's not about us, it's the Godhead working through us, right? And that's been such an awesome revelation for me. All I got to do is listen. And I'm a good listener, I've found out. but I can listen. And the Holy Spirit, God the Father, speaks to Jesus. Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit, and all things that the Father has are Jesus. Therefore, all things Jesus has, he gives to the Holy Spirit who lives in me and who hopefully lives in you. I have all things. I have everything I need to walk this life out in victory, in fullness. And my all things looks different than your all things. You know, you can't look at me and want what I have, because what he wants for you is different. It's different. But what he has for you is tailor-made. Tailor-made. It couldn't be any better. Right? What God has for you could not be any better. And when we start to walk in it and step into it, man, sometimes it's hard to put words to. It's just, it's a knowing. It's gratitude. Thank you, God, for loving me so much. You know, thank you, God, that you never, ever forgot about me. I forgot about you. And because of Jesus, we have the kingdom residing inside of us. It's in us. The Spirit of the living God resides in you, if you choose. If you haven't chosen that, let's fix it. We'll fix it right now. Anybody here not have the Holy Spirit and want to receive the Holy Spirit? Awesome. And if you didn't raise your hand now, we'll figure it out later. But I can't tell you the importance, because the Holy Spirit working in me is what took me to that next place. The Holy Spirit working in me is what led me to where I am now, because this was not my plan. I could be a hermit somewhere really easily and just disappear and have my doomsday preps ready to go and, you know, just be a real weirdo. I really could. This was not my plan. When I spoke to Pastor John, I was looking to clean toilets and vacuum. You know, like, this was not me. This was not my idea of standing in front of people and speaking, but I love it. Because God had a tailored plan for me. And I love it. Because I know what he did for me, and I want to see other people changed like I was changed. Let the kingdom, let his will have his way in you. Right?
Absolutely.
John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is how we come to the Father. It's through the Spirit. Our outward expressions should just be what we're being led to do. Anything beyond that is vain repetition. But we worship because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Right? We have this power because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Thank you, God, for the completed word. Right? That teaches and guides us. Think of the Gentiles and the Jews of Jesus' time. They didn't have what we have. We can read the whole thing. We can study. We don't have to figure this out by trial and error, even though a lot of us do, and I did. You don't have to, though. Young kids, you don't have to do the wrong thing to learn the right thing. You don't. You can just trust in the word and say, nope, that's wrong. And you'll save yourself so much trouble. Amen. You'll save yourself so many battles in your mind. Because when I started to change and turn around, it was in my mind. The spirit was willing, but my flesh was weak. Because I had put years and years and years of trash, years and years and years of poor ideas and a poor image of who God really was. It takes some time to clean that out. Let me give you some advice. Just don't put it in there in the first place. I'm serious. Don't put it in there in the first place. I don't care how fun it is. It doesn't last long. Hangovers are the worst. They're the worst. They're not worth the fun you thought you were going to have. And I could go on, but I won't. That's the example I'll use. You know, we have perspective and clarity. And we have to remember that Jesus spoke this pre-cross. He hadn't died yet. So now what do we have to do? Because we're coming to it. We have to rightly divide the word. So he said this. He did. Now what does my covenant say about it? What does my covenant say about it? Here we go. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the word give. Give it. Father, give it to me. And it's not some tantrum. Gimme, you know. That's not what it is. It's a knowing. It's a knowing that his promises are true. And it's a knowing that I can go boldly before him and say, Father, give me what you promised me in the word. Because we have that relationship. Or we can have that relationship. He promised it. Right? He's faithful, isn't he? So why shouldn't we expect it? Right? Expect that what God says he'll do, he'll do. Believe it. Put your faith in it. And say no. And I had to do this for myself with finances. No, I'm not going to live paycheck to paycheck the rest of my life. Because this is terrible. This is not you meeting my needs. And now I had to listen to him. I made the request, and now I have to listen to what he has to say. Because he's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. But if I try and do it on my own, I'm going to continue to miss it like I've been missing it. Because I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. And these last 3 years, me and my family have been just blessed beyond measure. I went to school for free. Amazing. Like, I would have never gone to school otherwise because you can't go to school living paycheck to paycheck, and I didn't want to go to school on credit card. That seems like it defeats the purpose. I'm going to go to school, but I'm going to put myself thousands of dollars in debt because of it, and then what? You know? It's there. Receive it. You know, we do it with a humble heart. I'm not saying this is like some weird demand, but it is a demand. You promised this in your word. Now teach me how to receive it. Because a lot of us just don't know how to receive. A lot of us can give and give and give and give, but when it comes to receiving, nope. I'm just a giver. I just like to give. I don't need to receive. I don't need to be blessed. I just like blessing others. Blessed are he who gives and receives. Because if you're not receiving from others, you're pushing away their blessing. And it's nothing but selfishness. When we cut right down to the root, it's nothing but selfishness. Because I'm just a giver. Well, be a receiver. Watch what happens when you balance both. Watch what happens when you walk in both. Watch the blessing and revelation that comes in your life when you balance both. We don't have to be in the ditch on either side. We can be right on the road, right down the middle. You know, because that's what this walk is about, is balance. You know, far too many people take it too far this way, too far that way, when most of the time it's just a combination of the two, faith and grace. Right? Faith and grace. How are you saved? By faith? Through grace. So it's both, right? You need both. So find that balance in between the two. Like I said, it's a knowing. It's a knowing that he is a good father and is going to meet our needs, right? It's boldness and it's confidence. It's humility and saying, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need everything that you have for me. I need that plan. I need my plan because I want to walk this life out in fullness. I need your plan because that's what's going to bring me through. Every one of you has a plan. So just some more verses. You've heard a couple of them, but enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the boldness. Into his courts with praise. That's the boldness. I have boldness to go before God because I know how he sees me now. I'm not a failure. I'm his son. And he loves me. So I can just go up to him. It's pretty awesome. We can just approach the God of everything. I mean, meditate on this stuff sometimes. Meditate on who we truly serve and how we have no business delighting in the things we delight in, but he loves us so much. Because I know me. Thank God I'm changing. But I still fail. I still fall. But he loves me so much that all I got to do is turn to him. I don't have to beat myself up. I don't have to go weeks in depression and stress and anxiety over my last action, which was my routine. Really high highs and really low lows. And most of the time it was low. James 4:2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Sound familiar? You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. His will, not my will. Because I'll be honest, the pleasures in my flesh look a lot different than what I'm doing now. But there's a satisfaction in what I'm doing that my flesh never could and never will give me. Ever. There is a satisfaction in knowing that I hear from God. It's just so awesome. I can't get past that right now. Like, I hear from God. He speaks to me. Like, what the heck? It's so cool to me. I don't know. He speaks to me. And he has a plan for me. And it's good. And every time I walk out his plan, it's amazing. The peace and satisfaction. Man, what was I doing for all those years? You know? And it's for everybody here. That's what drives me. Because he changed me, and I know he can change you. And I know he can change the people in your lives. It's just so encouraging to me. But his will. Are you willing to set aside your plans and your purpose, no matter how deep you are into it? I mean, I went to school for 15 years. I didn't. No, this is somebody else. I went to school for about 15 days, but, you know, somebody, let's just say, I went to school for all these years and I did all these things and I have a master's and a PhD and I have all this stuff. And then God says, you need to be doing this. but that doesn't line up with everything I've been doing for the last 15 years. Are we willing to walk out his will? Because I can tell you, it's better. I can tell you it's good, but I can't force you to do it. Once again, it's purpose and intent. It's purpose and intent. Do we ask according to his will or according to our flesh? All right, verse 12. I think I might get through this, sorry. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke 11:4 says, and forgive us our sins. So forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. Who here knows that Jesus Christ paid for your sins? Right? Because that's what the word tells us, right? So then we have to look at this and question and say, okay, he paid for my sins. So what is this? It's not a contradiction. The word does not contradict itself. But sometimes we got to dig. Sometimes we got to seek. And when we seek, we find. So we're not supposed to beg and plead for forgiveness, right? Because it's been given. If you're saved, you've been washed in the blood of Christ. You're forgiven. So what is this? It's dividing the word, because I believe it's pointing towards repentance and forgiveness. That's where this lies. That's why so many people miss, and that's why so many people get such a bad view of God, and that's why so many people are just always groveling and begging, because they don't rightfully divide the word. You know, not everything is surface level. You got to dig. I'm telling you, it's really fun to dig. It's fun. So maybe it's, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, and I repent. Because what's repentance? It's changing your mind. It's aligning your mind with the word of God. Right? I thank you that you are faithful and that I am forgiven. You know, it's not this begging and pleading, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. That's not what it is. You're forgiven. But have you repented? And have you changed your mind to the point where your ways start to change as well? Your flesh just follows what's up here. You can't go anywhere with your flesh that you haven't gone up here. We have to get this. We have to understand that he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But when we're walking in unrepentance, we're stopping ourselves. It's me getting in the way of me. It's me getting in the way of the blessings. And it's me getting in the way of the plan and purpose for my life. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Right? So we have to balance these things out, because we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven, but have you forgiven yourself? Have you forgiven others? Are you walking in unforgiveness towards God for some perceived wrong? I'll tell you right out, you're wrong. God is not at fault. God did not do it. I can look back at my life and I made those choices myself. Even when there was something better speaking to me, I made those choices myself. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't that he was there. He wasn't there. He was there. I was stupid. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to say it how it is. I was stupid. And it was nobody else's fault but mine. I mean, I can go down the road of blaming my teachers, and I can go down the road of blaming my parents, but they did the best they could for me. I was raised in a church, literally. I went to school there. I went to church there. I went to Wednesday night there. I spent almost every day of the week at my church. And a lot of Saturdays, too. For those who don't know, that's my mother. But it was me. It was me not receiving. It was me just getting by. It was me not taking it seriously. It was me not walking in relationship. And so I do want to get to this next one. And I will say, I know. The freedom that comes through forgiveness has to be experienced. I can't tell you it. I can tell you how it felt for me. Like, it was this unbearable weight that came off. And I could breathe again. And unforgiveness is such a stumbling block, such a barrier. Move on. Get on with life, man. Don't let past hurts affect the rest of your life. Now this has to be quick. All right, Matthew 6:13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I'm just going to say it. God does not lead us into temptation. You can't read the New Testament and tell me that's the truth. You can't. So once again, what do? We rightfully divide the word. All right, so let's see what it says. You know, just like he won't withhold our daily bread, he's not going to lead us into sin because he came and paid for it. You know, he's not schizophrenic. He has a purpose and a point and a plan, right? So James 1:13-14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So get it out. It's not him. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. It's not God. It's my dirty, rotten flesh. That's all it is. And when my mind's not renewed and when I'm not walking in relationship, it's really easy to let the flesh dominate. Really easy. Really easy. Too easy. I think that's the point. This request is for guidance, right? Because he's the one that leads us through temptation. We will never be tempted above what we can handle. It doesn't mean he's tempting us. It means he's going to show you the way before you hit the wall. That's what it is. So when you feel like you're getting to that point, keep going because victory's coming. Don't stop. When you're fighting these temptations, when you're fighting things in your life, keep going no matter how much it hurts, no matter how crazy you think you're going, keep going. Because victory is right around the corner. Because he will not let you go over the edge. He has the way. He has the way. So here's some quick verses. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray. So this is Jesus when he's in the garden. Watch and pray, lest any of you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Luke 22:40, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation, that you may not enter temptation. He never said that my Father leads you into temptation. It's not what it says. And then just a few verses later, 46, then he said, why do you sleep? Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation. And why did he say these things to them? Because he knew what was coming for them. He knew hardship was coming. He knew that their source was going to be ripped away, murdered in front of them. He knew Peter was going to go through what Peter was going to go through. And he said, pray, lest you be led into temptation. But they fell asleep. Which, you know, I can't fault them. I've done it too. We're praying for guidance, strength, wisdom, his will, because our flesh is weak. But as our mind comes into alignment with our spirit, the flesh has to follow. The more our mind is turned towards Jesus and his life and his goodness, the more the flesh has to submit. It has to. But it's work. Being strong in prayer and being strong in relationship makes you strong against temptation. The Father is not the tempter, Satan is. A couple more verses and I'll be done. Hebrews 2:17-18. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, this is Jesus, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He didn't go through what he went through to let you walk this out on your own. He is the answer. We need to look to them to be guided through temptation because he's not leading us into it. Just get it in your head. God is good, Satan is bad. Period. Like, it's really simple, but it's amazing how people can flounder over that. And then closing up here, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we start with praise and thanksgiving and we end with praise and thanksgiving. You can never praise and you can never be too thankful. Just, man, purpose in your heart. Because I've had instances where I've just been down. And I forced myself to just, God, you are good. God, you're great. God, I love you. And then all of a sudden, it just starts rising up in you. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because what can I do? I can look back on my life and I can see the victories. Right? I can look back on my life and say, you brought me through this, so you're going to bring me through this. You know, like praise, praise, praise. So, I hope this was helpful. And, you know, when we pray, keep in mind relationship. We're in relationship. So we can just go boldly before him. Go boldly before him. You know, don't be afraid to ask. But when you ask, listen. Listen. That's why we don't just recite, 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 because we never leave time to listen. Amen? All right, closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are good and that you are great and that you are glorious, Father. And I thank you that your word is truth and your word is life and we can rely on it. We can take it to the bank, Father. You will never leave us and you will never forsake us, Lord. And help us, Father, to meditate on this, to meditate on how to come before you, Lord, to meditate on how you want all good things for us, Father, and that you have a plan and that you have a purpose. And no, it's not always easy, but your way is right and your way is just. Father, help us to fight this flesh. Thank you that you lead us through temptation. Help us to look to you when things get tough. And let's look to him when things are good. Father, we just thank you for this week. And we thank you that as we go out, you're opening up doors. You're creating opportunities to share your goodness and your mercy and your love with other people, Father. We thank you for a wonderful week for this congregation, Lord, that you're blessing them and that you're leading and guiding them. In Jesus' name, amen.